I'd like to call to order the committee of the whole meeting. I'm going to call to order the committee of the whole meeting. Today is 7/31/2012, 8:35. Present today are all council members, Mike Brown, Katie Capellini, Doug Hanem, Sandy Hesman, Mark Lukey, Todd Melner, and myself. The mayor is present, the law director, Margie is present, and administrative members, Kevin, Scott, and Bill Sanford. The primary subject today is the continued discussions of budget, and we're going to focus today on parks and forestry. However, Mr. Brown has asked if he could please have 5 minutes in the beginning of the agenda to discuss something that First Energy has brought to his attention. He put those materials up at each person's place. Unless there's any objections, I'm going to allow him to take that 5 minutes. And one more quick announcement before that. At your places, you'll find the revised committee assignment sheet, just for your information. Mike?
Okay, if you recall, a couple of years ago, there was a program by First Energy to remove a lot of trees and stuff along power lines. The city was unaware the program was going to take place, and all of a sudden, we started receiving a lot of phone calls about what's going on, they're cutting down my trees and everything. Well, First Energy, this go-around, is going to be working with the Allen Junction to Westgate power lines that run primarily along the border with Michigan and the city of Sylvania. It goes into the township and, you know, city of Toledo, but I found it very refreshing that Meg has contacted me, told me the program was going to take place. We had a meeting. She gave me a folder on how they're going to handle the program. This is all based on some government regulations that any energy provider must protect their transmission lines from vegetation, so they'll be having a major program of removing vegetation from the Allen Junction transmission line. In your folder, you can go through them. It gives you some information. This is basically information. They will be contacting each one of the residents along the line, discussing what's going to be going on. They will also be providing some funds to replace some of the vegetation with suggested vegetation that won't inhibit the flow of power in case of a storm. You can look at the maps. I've made maps for you so you can see exactly what neighborhoods they are going to affect. I've driven back there a couple of times, and there are a couple substantial trees in some backyards that will come down. Most of it is just going to be cleanup and replanting. If they cut down a tree, they will bring in equipment and remove, you know, grind the roots up and stuff. They're just not going to leave stumps. I think they're doing it the right way this time, and I was really happy that, you know, they contacted us in advance. And this is just information for council members in case you do get a phone call. She requested that if we receive any phone calls from residents, that we refer those calls to her office.
Quick question. Have the neighbors been notified? Everybody knows?
Everyone would be notified. If you go through the folder, you'll see there's even a form that they'll fill out with each one of the residents that they have been notified and talked to about what's going to go on.
You know, if I may, I think First Energy and Ms. Adams deserve a lot of credit this time around for being proactive and transparent about this. I'd like to think that they maybe learned their lesson from last time, where we all, as members of council, were, I think, blindsided, as were the neighbors. But clearly, they're taking a proactive stance at this point. And I think her outreach to you, Mike, is indicative of that as well. So just for the record, you know.
Thank you, Mike. And with that, we'd like to get into our discussion for the budget issues. Today, our focus is Sylvania Parks and Forestry Department. Mr. Aller handed some information out, and I'm going to invite Mr. Aller to, you know, highlight some of the things that he's identified. I'm sorry. Scott, should we do the mid-year report first, do you think? Would you prefer to do that? I apologize on that. I neglected to. So why don't we go through that prior to the Parks and Forestry? I apologize for that.
I we handed out with the email? Pardon me?
Yeah.
What we handed out?
Yeah. Generally, this is just a broad overview of her halfway through the year. Top half of the page just compares the general fund budget to actual for 6 months. And the bottom half of the page, combines all the funds, comparing the budget to the actual. Couple things I want to point out. The general fund, you see the receipts are 58%, which is more than 50% you'd expect right now. But there are reasons for that. You know, most importantly, the income tax. April is our big year, our big month of the year for income tax. So you would expect that to be over 50%. Our tax collections, but that's only part of the year. April being the biggest part. Also, you know, we're doing really well with state tax. Unfortunately, it's one of the items that's going away next year. We budgeted $500,000. We'll be getting another $197,000 for the second half. So we'll be well over budget for state tax, and we're well over 50% at this point in the year. Again, income tax is at 56% of what we budgeted, and we budgeted $2,700. And we've seized almost $4,900,000 already. Low state tax is right about where the auditor projected it to be. Expenditures in the general fund, we're right at 50%. I do want to point out, though, if you look at the transfers out of the general fund, we're only at 38%. And the main reason for that is the streets fund has only spent 40% of its budget between June 30th, and we supplement through the funding of the streets fund to the general fund transfer. So that's why we transferred out of the general fund are not being over budget. And that's a good thing. You know, wild winter, overtime down, holiday time down, fuel, and you name it, salt. So that's the reason that he transfers out. And if you look at all funds combined, again, the revenue is just over 50%. We expect it to be. Expenditures are under budget. However, a lot of a large expenditure items do come later in the year. Our debt service takes place on December 1st. And that will be 1.77 million that will be paid out on December 1st for debt service. And also, we're going to incur a lot of expenses on the water tower project yet. So we expect more of that as the year goes on. So really, we're doing a 47% expenditure. The third page they hand out is something that Mike had requested at the last meeting of the home group. I had done this for your projection a couple months ago. And the only change to this document from the previous one is the expenditures line down in the capital improvements portion, took the numbers that Kevin presented as a revised capital plan from the last meeting and brought those to the board. This was, this power would represent the best. That's good, but I like that much better question.
Thanks, Scott. So, thank you for the update on the fund balance as well, because it does provide us some insight as to a little bit longer timeframe in terms of where we expect to have any challenges in the community. It lets us understand a little bit better what's ahead of us. Does anybody have any questions for Scott? I did have a chance to speak with him in advance and become a little more familiar with this. I asked him a few questions, but I think he addressed those today. Does anybody have any further questions for Scott?
The question I have is the 56% of income tax, is that, how does that compare with our historical status?
In other words, in years past, we, midway through the years, have completely collected 56 or 58 or 51 or what?
I don't have this mixed, but I can calculate it real quick and say,
okay. That'd be great.
We are at 2.7% over our last six collections at this point. But as far as where we were percentage collections prior years, I don't have that.
Cool. Scott does have a bar chart that he hands out that shows the last 4 years of tax collections, and we can calculate out that off of pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'll send it off to the House Board of State.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, thank you so much, Scott, for your time and effort in this. Appreciate that update. I think it's helpful as we begin to move forward. And now I will turn it over to Mr. Aller, let him explain a little bit more detail, some of his thoughts for Sylvania Parks and Forestry Department, and then certainly we'll, I'm certain, yeah, certain that we'll all have questions.
Thank you. I provided the same type of summary sheet that I provided last month with the Streets Department. In the parks, we currently have 10 full-time employees. And you can see the list, the distribution of the titles of different individuals there. Ranging from the superintendent, former crew leader, we have four public works services and a labor. The years of experience that those people have, you can see where we have a lot of experience. In those departments, we have 7 of the 10 that have 25 or more years of service time in with public employment, and then one each as we go down to 5. The lowest amount of service that any employee has is 11 years in that department. So a lot of experience, a lot of good experience. There has been requests in the past because of the years of service in one of the positions. There has been a request to, I'll say, add an additional public works serviceman with the anticipation of a retirement. And basically that's in the forestry division. Our trimmer, the individual that handles all of our tree trimming, tree removals, things of that nature, is one of those individuals that has several years of experience, and our concern is being able to have that position remain continuous if he were to retire or some other event. Potential retirements, there are several of them eligible. None of them have indicated in the short term that they plan to retire. Our superintendent and foreman both, within the next few months, will have 30 plus years in public employment, so they would be eligible. Again, neither one has indicated that they're even considering it, and have conveyed to me that they have no intention to. things can change, as we all know. The law changes are coming up, and if they take a look at it, who knows what decision they'll make. But as of now, short-term, next couple of years, we're not anticipating any retirements in that department. I debated whether to show this, but I kept it in there anyways. Overtime expenditures, we only have $9,900 budgeted in the Parks and Forestry divisions on an annual basis. Most of that is used for snow removal. They come in and they do some of the sidewalk areas, some of the parking lot areas, and things of that nature with the pickups that are easier to handle with the pickups rather than the large dump trucks that the streets department uses. Obviously, this year, we barely touched that. With the storm cleanup that we had, especially on the day of and the day after the storm, we did have some overtime there. We had several people out. We had roads blocked and things of that nature, so they were working to get those cleared for traffic. But we're well below that budgeted amount for this year. Some expenses, expenditures that we've made in the last 5 years to try to keep current. Computers are an ongoing expense. We purchased a snowplow for one of the pickups, a power brush that we'll be putting on one of the mowers that will be used primarily for cleanup of the river trail to keep access open during snow there. For the last 5 years, three mowers, two pickups, the yard waste truck that was actually purchased in cooperation with the Lucas County Solid Waste District. They provided some grant funds for that purchase, but the city provided the lion's share, the majority of the funds for that. And then we've had funds budgeted for the last 3 years for tree removal in Haroon Park. And I don't have the history of Haroon Park to know what it looked like 5 years ago, but if you go down through there today, I think it's something that people enjoy. They can actually see through it. I think that that's been a great project for the city. It's cleaned the park up. It will be an ongoing thing, but not an item. It will become an operational issue now versus a capital expense issue. So I think Pat's done a great job with that area down there. Some things that we do have upcoming. We have a horizontal grinder in our composting operation. Those typically have a 10-year life in operation. It was purchased in 2004, and so I have that in there as a 2014 plus or minus expense. Can it last 15 or possibly 20? Yeah. And we'll do everything we can. But I think we have a plan that we're going to have that expense out there coming up. Currently today, we spend on an annual basis in excess of $20,000 for the maintenance of that item. So it is an ongoing expense. The aerial lift truck, that is a 14-year-old vehicle. The lift itself was rebuilt about 7 or 8 years ago, but the chassis is 14 years old. So that will be upcoming. So that's about $150,000 expense. I've put that in 2015 plus or minus. Again, if we don't have any problems with it and continue to stop rate just fine, then we'll continue to use it. We have a loader that is a 2000, 12 years old. It has over 6,000 hours on it. That's about $125,000 expense. And then a couple smaller items that are just replacement type items, a pickup and a skid mounted sprayer. That'll be used for the watering the flowers and things of that nature around town. It can be used in conjunction with the sign truck that I'll talk about here in a little bit. but will make that watering operation a little easier and a little safer, actually. I'm going to hold off on the operational improvements. I'll talk about those towards the end. If you go to the, are there any questions on what I've reviewed so far?
I do have one comment, and that's about your horizontal grinder. We had a request a year or two to replace it, and Kevin, I believe you're the one that went out and found a new screen for it or something and kept that operational for a longer period than it looked like it was going to be. But the main thing on that one is we're continuing to try to get a discussion with that firm over on Bancroft, just west of 475, to see if we can't join in that operation and not have our separate composting field. Right now, they're not real receptive to what I would consider favorable budget discussions with us. We will continue to address that. And part of that, Mr. Lukey, is your discussion about giving our residents access to that facility as well.
You read our minds over here about that. Another, I guess a question. I was told, and I haven't been able to check this out, that there's a second composting operation that's opened up on Bancroft. Is that, does anybody know about this? The Stansleys, perhaps, are involved with that?
I'm not aware on Bancroft. I was told that the Stansleys were going to be operating the site on Silica.
Okay.
However, I had not placed a couple calls there. I've driven down to the site, and there's nothing. So I don't know. I'm not sure about the validity of that, but I am looking into that. There are other options. The city of Toledo has contracted with a company on Stickney, and then there's also a company that's operating Ohio Compost, operating out by the airport. Now, obviously, for convenience sake, those aren't very good sites, but the Toledo site on Stickney, that site is accepting the Toledo material at no cost. Now, from a business standpoint, I have no idea how they can do that, but it's definitely worth the phone call and some conversation.
Todd.
Yeah, and along those lines, with composting, I think that's a good thing that we explore all those opportunities. Looking at some of these capital costs are unbelievable with this equipment. I guess another thought that comes to mind, and I know this is a very sensitive subject, we have very dedicated employees here, but I guess the thought that goes through my mind is there a possibility with tree trimming that be outsourced to a private contractor? And I just toss that out as an idea for discussion.
We will continue to look into that. It has not been advantageous to us in the past, but we will continue to look at that, whether we have to hire an additional employee. I think we'd still have to have the aerial lift truck for other purposes, but we will continue to look at that. And we did have the opportunity a couple weeks ago to bring in a private contractor with the storm cleanup. Some municipalities were not able to do that because of their union contracts, but our contract allowed us to do that, and the employees welcomed it. And we used it for 4 days, is all we did. But that meant that our cleanup happened a lot quicker than it did in nearby communities.
Thank you.
Going to the charts that are provided, if you look at page one on the front side of the chart, it gives a summary of the activities that our employees are involved with, and it shows how what they are involved with throughout the course of the day. If you try to correlate, one of the things I struggled with when I first got this report from CARBS was how to tie the man hours by work type into the man hours by account. And if you take a look at the top pie chart, the tree maintenance item in the upper left, and going to the bottom, the forestry item in the bottom pie chart, those two items are pretty well tied together. It's essentially the same work. And accordingly, if you take a look in the upper right of the top chart, the green yard waste woodlot, that correlates to the resource recovery item in the bottom pie chart. That work is pretty much the, it's the similar work. All of the other items kind of, you know, they're spaced around. We have people, our people are doing a lot of different things on any given day. The crew that handles the green yard waste in the morning, they'll handle that. They'll run that route as quickly as they can, and once that's done, then they're on to grass mowing or park cleanup, whatever is needed at the time. So there's very little, if any, downtime, if you will. With only 10 employees, they are constantly busy. It's not uncommon to see this. In most places, the superintendent will direct the work and then just make sure that the work's been followed up on. It's nothing to see our superintendent out actually planting flowers or out cleaning up the brush at Maroon Park or things of that nature. He's right in the middle of it, doing the work itself. You can see that we spend, we do spend a lot of time with the beautification type projects, water, flowers, watering operation, the flowers, Christmas setup and banners and things of that nature. It's probably the smallest part of the budget, but when you take a look at the payback that the community gets, I think it's well worth it. So, the man hours by account, the cemetery is 5% of the operation. And if you take the correlation to that, that's roughly about a $50,000 to $75,000 operation that takes each year. So, that's a part of the operation that you really can't. We have to operate that cemetery. We have to maintain the cemetery when when unfortunates happen. We have to be there to serve the people. So there's not much that we can do in that area. If you take a look at the bar chart on the left, that is primarily our forestry division work. It's the tree trimmer position that Mr. Milner asked about a little earlier. Those are the number of jobs or number of sites that position has taken care of through the course of the year. Removals through planting is that position, as well as probably an assistant or two, depending on the work being performed. The inspections to the far right are the things that our superintendent was called on and went out and checked in the field with specific questions. So that's a summary of those operations. Going to page 2 is our composting operation. And the item of note, I think, on this page is, if you take a look in the bottom right, the yard waste bags that we sell, they're $2 a piece. We bring in on a routine for a few years now, we bring in roughly about $35,000 a year from the sale of those bags. The yard waste stickers have also stayed pretty consistent between $6,000 and $8,000 for a few years now. And the compost operation from 2010 was a large jump. 2009, it was roughly about $27,000 that we brought in. 2010 jumped up in excess, almost $35,000. And then in 2011, it dropped back down to about $22,500. The reason for that is Pat is running that operation. We had quite a stockpile come in that previous year, and I believe it was due to, I believe there was an ice storm in year 2008. And our composting operation, you're basically turning that material over on a two-year cycle. It takes 2 years for it to break down and to be of a sufficient quality to be able to sell it on the market. So 2010 did a huge jump. That is an anomaly. It's not the norm. And Pat would expect us to be in that $25,000 range on a routine basis on our compost sales. Again, a large event such as this recent storm might move those numbers a little bit, but not to a great degree, and not something that we should plan on. But we did mention, it was a concern on the large capital expenses for some of that operation, and the revenue generated from that program is roughly about $25,000. Any questions on those?
Quick question on the compost information. You've shared with us that about $25,000 comes in through the compost operation. How much does it cost to run that? Do you have a sense of that?
Typically, we have two personnel up there pretty much on a full-time basis. Then, of course, the equipment to operate it. If you break the horizontal grinder into that 10-year life, that's a $65,000 per year operation. We have additional equipment, the loader, and things of that nature. It's probably in the neighborhood of $300,000 to $400,000 on an annual basis to operate that program.
And that's gross, right? You take out of that the revenue, essentially.
Revenue
is.
$50,000.
So $250,000 cost.
Okay.
Yeah, we are really trying to fine tune the cost of the operation, because obviously in talks with Cleanwood, we want to make sure that we're looking at everything up there. The cost to run the truck there to dispose of the material versus running down Bancroft Street. So we're taking a look at apples to apples. So we're trying to fine tune that cost.
Other questions for
Mr. Allen? Yeah, I have one comment to make. As we go through this, we're looking at privatizing certain areas. I have no problem with that. But I want to be very clear to City Council that whenever you do privatize something that was handled internally, you send a message to your employees that, hey, we're not rewarding you for all the cooperation. They talk about employees, going from one job to the other job. We were able to bring in outside contractors and stuff. It's not a pro-union thing, but I think we need to be very careful and think this out very well, that we don't send the wrong message to the employees that work on the line every day, that we really don't, we're not sensitive to you guys cooperating with us, and we're going to privatize everything. I think there's got to be a balance in there someplace. Like I said, this is not pro-union. I'm thinking about the human part of our employees and how we work with them. So I think we need to be very, very careful.
Mike, I agree with that. It's just this new reality that's coming.
I understand all that.
It's going to be something that this city has not seen, and every city in Ohio has not seen in recent times. So
I don't think you can take a slash and burn approach.
And I think
we need to be
that.
Very, very conscious of how we do it, very selective.
Your comments are well heard and will be taken into consideration as we move forward, I'm sure. Thank you both. Mrs. Cappellini, I know you had some things you wanted to talk about.
So the horizontal grinder and the loader, if our compost operation went to Futurewood, does that mean we just wouldn't need those?
Correct. Those two items would not be purchased, they wouldn't be needed for the operation.
And when you say the tree trimmer, is he, he's the guy that like goes way up in the trees, like stories and stories up, and it's totally dangerous, and he does like the low trees? I mean, do we have other people that can trim like the small trees that don't go up four stories? And I'm wondering about our insurance. I mean, we had a tree taken down in our yard, and to see what those people do is insane. I'm just wondering what the insurance is on that.
It's a young man's game.
Way up in the sky.
It is costly. We have, you know, it's not, we don't put anybody into that aerial lift truck with a power saw to trim trees. It is something that you want someone that has done that, has made that their career, so to speak. The low-lying stuff that's reached, can be reached from the ground. Other staff does assist in those operations, but anytime we're in that truck, he's the man doing it. We don't risk putting someone in there that's unfamiliar with that type of operation.
I'm just wondering if when he's ready to retire, that maybe that's something that can, I mean, that's a...
Thank you. Any other questions?
You know, I just want to follow up on Mr. Brown's comment about the workers. I think we have benefited greatly by having an incredibly flexible and nimble workforce here. You know, they really do allow us to make some of the management decisions that we need to provide a good service to our community. So I think you're right, Mike. We have to be careful about how we move forward on that. I do think, however, that we're coming up on an unprecedented one-time opportunity with all of these retirements coming down. And I would like us to not automatically refill those positions without looking at some of the opportunities we have to outsource. I guess maybe part of that comes with perhaps an initial discussion, not a bargaining piece, but just some initial discussion with our bargaining units about that, you know, and so when we get to the point where we may be looking at that option, that they're not surprised by it and they understand what we're doing, and as we always have had a communication with them, continue that communication.
Good point, Mr. Lutke. Thank you. Any other questions?
Is there another page? Are these, like, so I think when we were doing these before, we talked about, like, what we were planning on spending and what we were saving, like, what the savings...
That comes in with operational improvements. Okay. Yeah. There are some cost savings there. I'll run through those and then
I'm getting ahead of you, sorry.
I do apologize. I did plan to have more information from you. I was on vacation last week and I had planned everything with me. The city system allows us to log into my computer from outside. Unfortunately, the system wasn't working last week. So when I returned to the office yesterday, I was scrambling to redo notes and everything of that nature. I believe what I provided is a good summary of what the Parks Department does, and we will address some improvements and some potential opportunities for safety. So, in the operational improvements, one of the first item is really something that we've really been talking about. I meet with the operations staff on a bi-weekly basis, and we've really been talking about coordinating use of our equipment. There are, in the past, and it's not uncommon, several places have done this. It's, you know, the Parks Department has a backhoe, the Streets Department has one or two backhoes, the Utilities Department has one or two backhoes. We've really been talking about coordinating the use of that equipment. And can we get by with two or three backhoes citywide to make sure that we coordinate use of equipment? Now, that has some drawbacks, because inevitably, those pieces of equipment that you're going to need, that you have, are going to be needed by everybody at the same time. Those times are rare, and, you know, can we work through them? So, one of the things that we took with that sign truck, the Parks Department has, you know, if you've ever seen them put banners up for the baskets at the beginning of the year, end of the year, the way we do that is not my preferred method of doing it. And the sign truck really enables them to do that in a much safer manner and in the manner that it should be done. However, that's an $80,000 cost. We have a sign truck that the Streets Department uses, and that's one of the items that the Parks Department and the Streets Department have been working together so that when the Parks Department needs it, the Streets Department can kind of redistribute their workload and make sure that they don't need it. So we're doing more interdepartmental coordination and talking to try to reduce the equipment that's needed on a citywide basis. So that's one of the things that we've done. I talked last month about budget writing or, you know, really digging into the numbers. That would result in approximately $60,000 savings without even cutting anything. It's just really turning the numbers into what we've actually been spending the last 3 years on an average basis. The one, or A, I shouldn't say B1, but A difficulty in the Parks Department budget in reducing is if you take a look at the arts budget, the resource recovery budget, and then the special assessment funding for tree trimming, you're looking at roughly about a $1.4 million budget. If you run through those line items, you'll see that approximately $900,000 of that is in labor costs. So there's not a lot of opportunities to trim equipment and programs and things of that nature. So it's difficult to correct that budget or to trim that budget without affecting personnel. And so that's one of the things that we'll be taking a look over the course of the next few months. And with retirements, like you mentioned, is it creates opportunities for us to take a look at how the operation is run and can we do something different in order to help us out. I've said it before, I sound like a tape recorder, I should just come in and play it. We are not a fat city. We have fewer employees. I will challenge any city to come in and say that they're leaner than the city of Savannah. But reality is here, and we have to do something. So I don't want to say that we don't need the bodies we have, but we will take a look at how we would be able to do it with fewer, or how we can change the operations in order to meet the new budget requirements. So, a few other things that we're taking a look at. You know, one of the things during the summer is we essentially had an employee tied up on irrigation practices. We have several flowers and baskets throughout the city. They're beautiful. The residents like them. I believe council likes them. That's the image we want to portray to the community. But that has an individual full-time during the summer. One of the things that I'd like to take a look at is in the downtown system, talking with the businesses and see if maybe they can take ownership, if you will, of those areas downtown and go out with a 5-gallon bucket each day and water those baskets. It removes, again, it removes that time commitment away from our staff. And I don't think it's asking a whole lot, but to see if they would take ownership, so to speak, of those items downtown. We do charge fees that I mentioned for the green yard waste bags. The bags are $2, the stickers are $14. We have the opportunity to perhaps increase those fees. That would add additional revenue. But even if you were to double those fees to 4 and 28, one, your sales would reduce. And two, you know, you're adding roughly about $35,000 in revenue. Not a huge effect on the budget. So we are considering right now our compost sales to the contractor sales. That is at $11 a yard, and to our internal residents, it's $9 a yard. We are on the low side. We've done a little bit of research there. We are on the low side for those fees. So we are considering a possible increase to those. And we'll still be within the market rate of those sales, and that would generate some additional revenue. But again, that right now accounts for about $25,000 of our budget. It's usually a 20% increase for easy numbers. That puts us to $30,000. So it's not going to be a large impact to the budget. But I think if we are on the low side of the market, I think we owe it to our citizens to be in the market. So I do look for us to increase those sales. Another thing is to, we have a few to several, depending on your perspective, vacant lots throughout the city. We have maintenance costs associated with maintaining those lots, and we would may have the potential to be able to sell those lots. I know that's been discussed at past council meetings. Obviously, selling to generate the revenue from the sale, and then it also removes the maintenance costs that we currently have for those lots. There's not a large number, but there are probably three to six that could potentially be available if that proves so. And then lastly is discussions of recreational type operations and whether or not we currently own Plumber Pool, Burnham Park area, and then Sage Yard operates and maintains that area. Is that the continued method of operation, or is there a better way to handle that and, quote, get out of the business, so to speak, or things of that nature? All of the operational costs are covered by Sage Yard currently. We do have some building and equipment maintenance costs, but all of the operational costs are covered by Sage Yard within our operating agreement. So that's a potential as well.
So what would the cost savings be in a situation like that? Do you have any idea?
Still working that up. This past year, actually, this year was executed, we spent less than $10,000 on getting that ready for operation. We do have the utility costs, things of that nature. I'm actually working with Meg Adams to obtain reports from Edison that are a little more customer friendly for us to be able to break out. It's a search every time we want to find something. So she's working with me to try to make that easier on the phone.
To be respectful of everyone's time, we are coming up to the 1 hour point. I certainly have plenty of time to stay, but I think if there's critical questions that we need to address, I'd like to make sure we put those on the table. And if someone has a critical need to leave, that we have that conversation and make sure that we reconvene at a point that works for everyone if that's necessary. Mrs. Capolini.
I just want to make sure that I feel like timing is of essence right now with the SAGR levy that is being put on the ballot. And the board has been agreeable to taking over financial responsibility for Burnham Park and Plummer Pool, and I would hate for us to, I'm not saying drag our feet, but I'd like to definitely be on the same page with them and the potential that that levy does pass that we can fold into. I mean, because even in the capital, the Parks and Forestry capital requests, at one time there were the benches, the trash receptacles, some signs, the fountain is in disrepair, that needs a lot of work. I mean, these are all big expenses that could be hitting our budget, but if they've got a levy coming up and it could hit their budget, I just don't want us to miss a golden opportunity here. And I mean, to Mike's comment earlier, I know that, I mean, our employees have done great things. I don't disagree with that, but we've got three park districts in Sylvania.
Well, I guess a lot of the questions that I would need to know before we gave up property to the recreation district is who's going to get receipts from the communication system on the water tower? How much control over contracts for the water tower do we have if we don't no longer own that property? Isn't there a pumping station on that property? You know, how that would be handled? So there are a lot of...
We would not sell the property.
Okay. Oh, we would still own it? You know, that concerns me, that part of it. Okay.
We have leases on top of the water tower that will continue to benefit.
You know, I really think Mr. Aller is on point, though. This discussion has to start with what the potential cost savings are to the city and the operational benefits to our citizens, right? And it sounds to me like you need a little more time, Kevin, to work that through.
Yes.
But I think Katie's right. I mean, that needs to be sort of front burner stuff so that we can have a discussion here about that before the SAGR folks go public with their levy, right? I mean, I think by Labor Day for sure. So is that doable, you think?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's I look for those kind of analysis. I don't think we should be doing this just to do it. I think there needs to be some clear benefit to us.
And I agree with Katie that as budgets get tighter, as we move on down the road, citizens are going to look at things like three park systems, and that's going to come right to the forefront as far as efficiencies.
So I think these are critical conversations that need to be happening, and they should be happening relatively quickly. I think it might be something we should consider moving to Parks and Forestry Committee for more discussion with fleshing out some of the details on it and working with Mr. Aller to make sure that we're making good decisions and then bringing that forth to the committee of the whole or the full council in a council meeting. Unless someone has another recommendation, that would be mine.
You know, I wonder if that ought to start with the Parks and Forestry Committee. And maybe, did you say, I thought you said Committee of the Whole, I'm sorry.
No. I said start with Parks and Forestry, yeah. And then they can decide whether it comes to a Committee of the Whole or to full council,
right.
Formal council meeting.
Kevin, what do you think is a good time frame for a Parks and Forestry meeting? I don't want to get before.
I think if we would set up something up that week prior to council, I believe the next council meeting is the 20th.
Should we? I'm wondering if it makes sense to set it right now so we have. Because we won't all be together again until the next council meeting.
Set it up for me.
Well, I'm out the week of the week. I'm out from the week. Not from the 9th through the 17th. Although I might be able to do something early in the morning. We have something on the morning of the 10th, probably. Yeah.
And just as a point of clarification, the members of the committee are Katie Capellini, Doug Hanum, Sandy Hussman, and Mark Lutke.
Yeah, I wonder if we couldn't meet ahead of the council meeting on the 20th, you know, maybe at 6 or 6:30 or something.
That's good. That works. Is that enough time? I mean,
you mean for the discussion?
But hopefully things will be ironed out before we get there.
I think a 6:30 meeting gives us an hour to talk about it.
All right. So 6:30 on the 20th for Parks and Forestry.
this is not the chart.
Very good. Thank you. Is there any other questions, critical questions? Mrs. Hussman?
Yes, I just had one clarification point on how our equipment, our trucks, tractors, and all of that is handled. Is there one central place where it is now that it is maintained, and then your certain divisions come and get it, or do they kind of keep their own things here and there?
As far as maintenance, that's handled at our streets department.
Okay.
With two vehicle maintenance.
But it's brought there then to be maintained, but it's not kept there?
No. It's kind of, well, for parks and forestry, it's kept out on Savannah Meadow Moore Road in that building, and then it's taken down to vehicle maintenance to be maintained. With the other departments, they're all kind of right there.
At the maintenance place?
Yeah, so it's...
So it's pretty well centralized except for streets and parks and forests.
Correct.
I have a quick question, dovetailing to that, Mr. Aller. With the collective bargaining contracts that we currently have, do they allow employee sharing between departments?
To a degree. We have done it, and in fact, in the budget, we have line items for interdepartment work. So that they do have to cross over. We've actually begun talks with them to expand on that even a little further, so that Streets Department retirement occurs rather than filling that, do we utilize during the snow plowing season or whatever, do we utilize a water department employee or something of that nature in the Streets Department to cover the rough times, so to speak? So those talks have already, we keep.
That's great.
Thank you. I'd like to just mention that we certainly have got some other committee of the whole budget discussions that need to occur or that we've committed to having. We've got utilities and courts coming up. Our next meeting of the council is August 20th. So I am interested in getting feedback from this committee as to whether you'd like to have one of those meetings prior to that August 20th meeting, or if you're comfortable with us scheduling it on the night of the 20th.
I would suggest that we wait and schedule it the night of the 20th.
I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, I agree. One other topic, though, Mary, and I don't think it needs to come ahead of utilities or courts, but I think we need to have it before we get into the budget cycle. I forwarded to the mayor an article that appeared in the newspaper recently about the city of Sandy Springs, Georgia, which is a community of 94,000 near Atlanta. And this is a city that has virtually outsourced all of its city operations except for public safety. They have a police department, a fire department, and 7 city employees for 94,000 residents. I'm not advocating that Sylvania come anywhere close to that, but I think that Sandy Springs is sort of a template for the various city operations that for which there are private sector solutions, right? I'm absolutely mindful of the fact that we've got a great city workforce, and I believe Mr. Aller when he says that we operate more efficiently than most municipalities, but I think we owe it to our taxpayers to at least investigate the options that might be available for outsourcing portions of our operations, particularly, again, as we come up on this one-time opportunity that's being driven by decisions in Columbus that are forcing retirements. So whether that goes on the agenda in September, you know, or early October, that's fine. But we're before we get into serious budget discussions for 2013, I think we should have a little bit of staff work around this and a little bit of discussion at council.
Great suggestion. And we'll put it on the list here and try and make sure we incorporate that at the September-October time frame.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other business to come before the committee of the whole?
We adjourn.
Here. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Thank you.